Greetings to each of you in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. I am so thankful that we serve a risen God, not one that's still in the grave, one that is all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing. Turn with me to Psalm 139. Some of you have heard this message before. It is a rerun. Some of you have not, and if you're like me, you need it again. But it's actually a prelude to a message that I'm working on. A brother came to me a number of weeks ago, I guess now, and said something about hearing messages on dating, courtship, etc. I thought, okay, yeah, that's good. So kind of asking my viewpoint on some and on some of that. And I thought, well, that would be good to prepare a message for that. So in light of that, there are some things that need to happen before you even think about that, right? Oh, you think about it regardless, don't you? Especially if you're a young person. I was going to have everyone close their eyes this morning and put your head down and have a raised hand vote. Maybe we should do that. Should I do that? No? You don't think so? I think we should. Let's do it. Okay, close your eyes. Put your heads down. If you're ready to date, think you're ready to date, raise your hand. Ida, put your hand down. No, she didn't have her hand up. Okay, you can lift your heads up. All the married people should have had their hands up. I didn't see any of them. Caught you. You know, it is. It is exciting. For those of you that remember that time, and hopefully you continue it into your marriage. But in looking at that, we need to look at one of God's principles. And that's the principle of design. In Psalm 139, verse 14, starting at verse 14, the psalmist said, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, and when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Now, most people do not accept the way that God made them. That's just a fact. Whether you do it in an outward way or maybe in an inward way, there's I think, a struggle within each one of us to come to this point of accepting the way God made us. And I hope that you have come to that bridge and you have crossed it successfully, and you could say that I have accepted God's design for my life. So people may feel they're too short, maybe they're too tall, too large, too small, possibly their hair is too curly, or maybe it's too straight, maybe they just want hair. Every relationship in our life, though, is affected or will be affected by how we actually view ourselves. So, therefore, you don't want to start a relationship with another person until you have accepted the way God has designed you. If we reject our design, it will be impossible to trust our designer. Not will be near impossible, but it will be impossible. If you reject the way God made you, then you're rejecting Himself. You're rejecting God Himself. That's pretty strong. But it's true. God made each one of us fearfully and wonderfully. We have 10 unchangeable characteristics. Many of you know this list. It's our physical features. We have the way we're designed on the outside, our physical features, our height, our weight, our color of our hair, our eyes, all that physical aspect of us, God designed for us. Our parents are unchangeable. You know, we were born into a family and we were given two parents. Now, you may be adopted. That doesn't change your birth parents. You still had birth parents. And then another parent adopted you, which makes you pretty special, actually, if that's your case, because someone chose you. And I think that's why God uses in His Word that whole concept of being adopted. God adopts us into His family. He chooses us. Our siblings, we don't really choose those either, do we? We might want to at times, but we don't. They are unchangeable. The race that we were born, our nationality, that's another unchangeable characteristic. Our mental capacity. You know, some people are just smarter than others. It's okay. That's the way God made us. And we can accept that. You know, I didn't struggle as much in school. I was able to memorize easier and study for tests easier. My sister, on the other hand, it was harder for her. And at times I felt sorry for her because I thought, well, that's not really fair. You know, I don't have to work as hard as she does to get the same grade. But that is an unchangeable characteristic. How about our time in history? You know, when you were born and the time period that we live in now, you don't change that. Our gender, we're born male or female, we don't change that. Do we accept it? Our birth order, were we the firstborn? Or are we the last? Are we somewhere in the middle? That is another thing that God designed and He had a part in. How about our aging? You know, some people age much quicker than other people. Some people live longer than other people. We don't change that. Hopefully we do our best to take care of ourselves, but we really don't change that aging process and our death as well. God has our days numbered, and He knows that time, and we don't change that. Now, that seems like a lot of things to get our mind around and to accept, right? All these things about me, I have to accept that God designed that, and God has a plan for those specific things in my life. You know, I don't like being so tall. Or I don't like the color of my hair. Or my parents are terrible. You know, we've all said that, haven't we? Hopefully not. Or my sibling, my older brother, younger, whatever. You know, those things we need to accept that God has placed those in our life. Each unchangeable is designed to develop more of the character of Christ within us. What if we looked at it from that aspect? That part of my life is actually God designed that to bring me closer to Him, to display Christ. As we accept our design and our unchangeables, we build trust in our designer. A person's attitude about himself has a great influence on his attitude towards God, his family, his friends, his future, and many other significant areas of his or her life. What is your attitude about yourself and those 10 unchangeable characteristics? This can be a major conflict in young people and adults even. And that is having a wrong attitude about ourselves and not being willing to accept those things. Isaiah 55 verse 9 says, "Woe, time out, woe unto him that striveth with his maker or designer. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth, but shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou, or thy work, he hath no hands?" You know, can you imagine the potter's wheel and the potter's forming that clay vessel, and the vessel cries out, "What are you doing with me? That doesn't make sense." But that's what we do when we don't accept the way God has designed us. And we read Psalms 39, a portion of that. God prescribed us before we were even born. He knew exactly when you were going to be born, who you're going to be born to, who your siblings are, the color of your hair, how many teeth you will or will not have in your mouth. God knew all that before we were even born. And were created in his image. In Genesis 1:27 it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." God's purpose for creating us is that we would have fellowship with him through Jesus Christ, and that we experience the full potential of Christ working through our bodies. Now, if we don't accept God's design in our life, are we going to have fellowship with him? No. We're going to miss that purpose. That purpose for him creating us. If we don't accept the way he has designed us. So an insight into accepting is knowing that God prescribed us even before we were born. To understand that God's not finished with us. That we may just need to be patient. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And in Psalm 138, verse 8, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the work of thy hands." You know, when I picture God's dealing with me in my life, and I'm that clay vessel on the potter's wheel, until I die, God is still forming me and perfecting me. And as long as I accept his design and place myself in his hands, isn't that a nice place to be, in the hand of God? Being formed. We have great potential. God is not finished with us yet. Be patient. And we must be aware that Satan knows our potential. Satan knows why God created mankind. And he desires to destroy. Jesus warned us of that. That he is out to steal, to kill, and destroy. And it doesn't matter how he does it. He doesn't care which way he chooses. But one way he chooses is to separate us from our designer. And making us think that we weren't created in God's image and we're not perfect in Him. And Satan will put those doubts in our mind. Another insight into accepting God's design is to understand that outward beauty is not related at all to inward happiness. You can be the most beautiful person on the outside and most sour, unhappy person on the inside. Or you could be a very unattractive person on the outside and be very happy and joyful on the inside. And I tell you, I actually think I've shared this illustration before with you, but when I was a few years younger, I was having a conversation with another young man, and we were talking about our different youth activities. He was from Pennsylvania, and we were talking about his youth group, and he said something about, I think I understand why the young women in our youth group are not dating or courting other men or other young men. I said, oh, really? Why? Why is that? And he said, well, you know, some of them are very attractive, but they don't have the inward happiness. Oh. Well, yeah, that's not going to stand the test of time. Because we all know that our outward beauty declines over time. You know, our back starts hurting and we start shrinking and our hair starts graying or we lose it or we gain a few pounds and add a few wrinkles and, you know, all those things, because it's just the aging process, right? That unchangeable that we need to accept, that aging. In 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, for which we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And in Proverbs 31, verse 30, it says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, Satan's initial method is to get us to believe that God has cheated us. He's ripped us off out of something that we should rightfully have, some form of outward beauty. Right? Satan likes to do that. And I would not believe you if you raise your hand and say that Satan has never tempted me in that way. You're not that good of a salesman. He does that to each one of us. That's why I believe everyone has to come to that point, that bridge, and say, I accept God's design. And Satan hates that. He doesn't want to hear you say that. He doesn't want to hear that come from your heart and that belief that God has designed me this way and He has a purpose for my life. God has no outward ideal. Man creates that. Man puts that outward, you know, Mr. or Miss Universe, that whole false concept that beauty has to be a certain way. In fact, in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. This is when Samuel was anointing David, right? We're talking about that, I was thinking about that in Sunday school. David was a man after God's own heart. And God knew it then. He had the soft, pliable heart then that God wanted in a leader, in a king. And the other brothers may have been taller, may have been stronger, more robust, whatever, that's not what God wanted. The cause for inferiority is comparing unchangeables. We like to say, well, he's taller, or she's prettier, or something. We want to compare. And superiority is just a sign of inferiority. You know, bullies that bully people around, and even if they're verbally abusive, are actually just inferior themselves. They haven't accepted God's design. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, it says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." Now, I have a feeling most of you here want to be wise. So the Bible says, don't compare yourselves among yourselves. Don't try to stack up to one another, because that is not wise. In 1 Corinthians 4, 7, For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory, as if thou hast not received it? Talking about those unchangeables. You know, the differences that we are from one another. I remember when I was younger, I was thinking, you know, you'd struggle with the simple things like, oh, they're just a little bit older than me. I have a child that has a cousin who's just a little bit older. And it just grinds him, you know. And it can't change it. Right? It never be changed. It just can't quite grab it now. He's not quite at that age yet but at some point, you know, that has to be dealt with. God, however, does have a universal inward ideal. Not the outward, the inward, and that is to have the character of Jesus Christ. He wants our hearts to have the heart of Christ. In Romans 8, verse 28, it says, "And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn of many brethren." It is God's desire that each one of us accept His design for our life and be conformed into the image of His Son. Many people don't choose that. It's sad. And many people continue to go through their life struggling with that. And then they never have that fullness that God designed for them. That inward ideal that God wants in their life. Galatians 4:19, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." God still working our life as that clay on the potter's wheel. And then Matthew, we're familiar with the Beatitudes there in Matthew 5. I'm going to skip ahead to some unique features are frames to highlight God's message in us. So if you think that there's an area in your life that may be unique, I would agree with you. God made each one of us unique and has a purpose for that. And those unique features are really just to point others to God. They're to frame out a message. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and in distresses. For when I am weak, then am I strong. He wrote to the Philippians and said in Philippians 3:7, but what things were gained to me, those things that I thought were important, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, which is of God by faith, that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Those things that we think are unique, God placed in our life to highlight God's message in us. If necessary, God even sacrifices outward beauty to develop inward character. Paul experienced this in 2 Corinthians 5:1-2. He writes, for we know that if our earthly house, this body of this tabernacle, were dissolved or put away, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, that inward ideal, and it's eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, that perfect house, which we look forward to. And in 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul says, and lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So even Paul struggled with some thorn in the flesh, some outward thing that caused him to have that struggle. Now, how do we respond to these, that's why they're in quotes, defects, because they're not. They're just unique. Well, if there's something that we can correct, we could correct that. For example, if your vision isn't too good, you could get glasses, right? That would be a defect. The fall of man is created poor eyesight, or hearing. A hearing aid can help with that. If my appearance is sloppy and distracts from God's message, well, I could comb my hair and brush my teeth, right? Those are things that I can do to take care of and that wouldn't distract from God's message working itself through me. How else could I respond? Well, maybe not eating that second and third Oreo cookie might be a way too, right? Correct them. We can do our part as well. I heard this story once about a gardener that took over, and this is what I like to do with gardens and flower beds, is something that looks just terrible. You know, it's all overgrown, and you go in, you pull the weeds, and you thin it out, and you restore it. You make it look nice again, and I really enjoy that. So one time, this gardener came in, and he did that to a garden, and someone came by and said, wow, look what God's hand has done with these beautiful plants. And totally disregarded the gardener and any work and toil that he had put into it. And the gardener said, well, yeah, God's plants are beautiful, but you should have seen it when he had it by himself. How else can we respond to defects? This is good. We can exercise the prayer of faith. Exercise the prayer of faith. We say in Hebrews, it says, what is the definition of faith there in Hebrews? It's the substance of... Can't hear you. Are you sleeping out there? Things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Right. Faith discerns and visualizes what God intends to do. And then prayer is made in harmony with that discernment. It's not twisting God's arm and saying, well, God, if you would do this, then. So maybe we need to discern, those unique features about ourselves. What God intends to do with that. Where is our faith? How are we projecting and visualizing what God intends to do? Faith discerns three types of sickness. There's the sickness unto death. In Psalm 90 verse 10, the days of our years are 70, if by reason of strength they be 80. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Is our body deteriorating just because we're getting old? Our sickness unto death, we realize that our time on earth is approaching its end. We need to discern that. Is that causing the defects, possibly? Is there a sickness? The second one is sickness unto chastisement. And in 1 Corinthians 11, 28 through 33, it says, but let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Why do we examine ourselves? Well, something, God may have allowed something in our life, a sickness unto chastisement, to bring us closer to him. God does allow that to happen. In fact, sometimes God is very purposeful in it. What happened when Jacob wrestled with that angel? Forever was Jacob reminded of that, wasn't he? Yes, he never forgot. Every time he took a step, he remembered that time. What did God use that for? To bring him closer to him. And lastly, there may be a sickness to manifest the work of God and to glorify him. There may be something in our life, that unique feature, just to bring God glory. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 6, it says, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. For now I forbear, lest any man should think me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. John 9, verse 2, and his disciples asked him, Master, who did sin? Was it this man or his parents that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. There's people out there that believe if you're sick or ill, that you're being chastised. And God is punishing you for something. That is not true. Jesus said it himself. It wasn't because of this man's sin or his parents. It was actually just just so God could bring glory through his life. And it may be that with you, or you may point that out in someone else. We can glory in our unchangeables. I'm going to go quickly through these. Our unchangeables are a mark of ownership. They're a motivation, or should be, a motivation for character. In 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul talked about that thorn in the flesh, and it motivated him. And it should also be a means of serving better. Mark 10:43-45, but so shall it be not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now this is that bridge that we need to all come to actually thank God for each one of those unchangeables. Can you do that? Can you thank God for each one of those? For each of your siblings? For your parents? Some people don't have good parents. That's an honest fact. They're abusive. But we still need to thank God for them. Our birth order, our time in history, the way God made us, our physical features, how we're aging. Thank God for those unchangeables. We need to confess any bitterness that we may have towards God. We need to thank God for how he made us, especially for whatever that we're struggling with. We need to put ourselves back on God's easel or his potter's wheel and let him form us and regain that ground that we've given to Satan. And then seriously think about those unique features or defects, which they're not, and list the benefits of them. List the benefits. Some of you know Chris McConnell that used to come here and has passed on to be with our Lord. But he quoted and said that if it wasn't for God placing him in a wheelchair, he would not have served God in the capacity that he did. That was a benefit of his defect. He couldn't walk. And he saw the benefit. He said, I wouldn't be serving God if it wasn't for this defect. Wow. Remember, our self-worth doesn't improve if we learn more, if we lift more, if we look better. Our self-worth only increases by making significant contributions to the body of Christ. In Ephesians 4, 24 and 25, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So by accepting God's design for our life, we can have fellowship with him and then begin to make contributions to the body of Christ. And that's what I would leave you with this morning. How can I contribute to the body of Christ so that the lost world around me will be attracted to him? Brother Alvin?